RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headline. Archbishop of Semarang attended Eid prayers. Belawan new terminal accommodate up to 3,000 passengers. Now the news in detail. Archbishop of Semarang Monsignor Johannes Puja Sumatra attended the Eid prayer held in the Great Mosque in the city of Semarang, Central Java on Friday. It was his first visit in the Idul Fitri Mass prayer. Puja Sumatra was accompanied by Secretary of the Archdiocese Ignatius Triatmoko and Chairman of the Commission for Interreligious and Beliefs Aloysius Budi Purnomo. Puja Sumatra said his visit aimed to congratulate Idul Fitri directly to Muslims. Puja Sumatra explained that the relationship between the Catholics and other religious communities in Indonesia is very important related to the harmony of human beings. Chairman of the Executive Board of the Great Mosque in Central Java, Nur Ahmad, welcomed the visit of the representative from the Archdiocese and hoped it could be performed each year to build good relations among religious followers. Building a new passenger terminal and supporting facilities in Belawan has completed. New passenger terminal is operated for ship berthing activities and passengers. Public Relations of PT Pelabuhan Indonesia 1 M. Eriansah in Medan on Thursday said the terminal also equipped with various facilities, waiting rooms, parking lots, and other supporting facilities. Eriansah said the development of the new passenger terminal aimed at anticipating the flow of goods and passengers at ports during the Idul Fitri holidays. Belawan is the third largest port in Indonesia. Eriansah said the new passenger terminal is able to accommodate up to 3,000 passengers and is connected directly to the land transportation. In the future, the passenger terminal will also be connected directly to the train station. The government will involve more Indonesians from domestic universities or think tanks in the development of infrastructure projects to make the most of local human resources potential, top economic ministers have said. The government hoped that academic and researchers from local universities or research agencies could play a greater role in the feasibility study and design a government infrastructure project. National Development Planning BAPENAS head Andri Novchaniago said in Jakarta recently. In this case, the local academicians, researchers, and engineers would be involved in the feasibility study of various government projects, especially those related to infrastructure, such as power plants or dams, according to the minister. The minister said that the initiative came from Vice President Yusuf Kalla, who wished to see heavier involvement from institutions such as the Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, BPPT, and the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, in the economic development in Indonesia. Gajah Mada University invited the administration of Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta in developing Technopark based on agro industries and manufacturing. Rector of the University of Gajah Mada, Dwi Korita Karnawati in Kulon Progo Friday explained the Technopark will be synergized with between mass productivity processing industries of Gajah Mada University, research products with vocational learning schools. In addition to Technopark, the university will also cooperate with the government of Kulon Progo in managing products in Kulon Progo such as sugar, premium rice, durian, cocoa, and tea. The production is already underway, but it is still in the bulk, not yet in form of packaged products which are ready to sell in the market. According to her, the cooperation between the University of Gajah Mada and Kulon Progo aims to improve the products that are still bulk or raw materials into products ready for the market, ranging from packaging to marketing. Responding Technopark Development Plan, Kulon Progo Region, Hasto Wardoyo said he would support the cooperative effort that has been agreed by both parties earlier. The news come to you from the Voice of Indonesia. Maros Regency in South Sulawesi is set to hold Full Moon Festival in Ramang-Ramang starting from August 8 to 9. The festival offers cultural attraction and captivating natural beauty of karst cliffs under the glowing light of full moon. Jufri Rahman, the head of Culture and Tourism Agency of South Sumatra, promised that visitors will be indulged in different kind of sensation. According to Jufri, karst cliffs of Ramang-Ramang in Maros is favored by tourists who seek adventure. Photographers, bloggers, and painters community are invited to capture the facility, the festival, and their works will be exhibited in a local art gallery. South Sulawesi Culture and Tourism Head of Tourism Destination Development Julianus Batara said that visitors will be welcome to stay overnight in tents and local residence houses. As many as 40 units of boats, each accommodates 5 persons, will become the transportation means during festival. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil, popular as Emil, has planned to introduce creative industry products from Bandung through a promotion center called Little Bandung in South Korea. The promotion center will be inaugurated by the end of this year in Seoul. Emil said at Bandung City Hall, recently, best products from Bandung have been shortlisted by a team from Bandung Institute of Technology. The products will be marketed in the promotion center, where each of them will provide a special edition dedicated for Little Bandung. Emil explained that Little Bandung would not be directly linked with the city administration or making profits. According to Emil, the city administration would only serve as a facilitator between creating young entrepreneurs and third parties or investors who want to introduce Bandung overseas. The Little Bandung will have 4 stories that consist of cafes on the first and second floor, promotion center on the fourth floor, and exhibition gallery on the fourth one. Emil said the city administration would not intervene because the program will run based on a business-to-business scheme, but the Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry will survive the program. At least 230 illegal immigrants from Bangladesh now accommodated a former immigration office in Lok Samawe, Aceh, are ready for deportation after Idul Fitri. Head of the Lok Samawe Immigration Office, M. Akmal, recently said the travel documents for the 230 illegal immigrants will have available. The documents were received by the District Immigration Office last week from the International Organization for Migration, IOM, Akmal said. The illegal immigrants were stranded in the Sea of North Aceh several months earlier. They left their country mainly on economic reason. Aceh also has a number of illegal immigrants from Myanmar, the Rohingya Muslim minority, who are mainly political refugees. That was the news from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, here is commentary about the hope of peace in the Middle East conflict. Idul Fitri is usually celebrated with great joy by Muslims who have been fasting Ramadan for 1 month. However, it may not take place because a conflict still haunts Middle East region. Extremely, in the city of Mosul, Iraq, the group declared itself as Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, according to the source of the Kurdish Democratic Party, or KDP, expressed prohibition for Muslims to perform Salat Idul Fitri. ISIS claimed the ritual was not in line with the Islamic practice that they believe. That's just one of the ISIS deviations from Islam, which is generally adopted in the region of both Sunni and Shia. The attacks of ISIS are no longer limited to Iraq and Syria, but had crossed to Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and even Egypt. In Saudi Arabia, ISIS claimed to be responsible for the attacks to several Shiite mosques in the eastern Saudi Arabia. In a statement, ISIS also claimed to be responsible for the attack to the militia leader in the Houthi in Sana'a in late June. The second attack killed some people. Yemen has become an arena of conflict which is very complex. There is Houthi militia that seeks to dominate the country left by the President Mansour al-Hadi, who requested protection to Saudi Arabia. Saudi government supported President Hadi and performed a series of attacks to Yemen. More recently, ISIS has also deteriorated the atmosphere by attacking the Houthi militias. The reason was that ISIS regarded the followers of Shia as the followers of Bidah. ISIS is hostile not only with Sunni sects and Shiite sects, but also with Islamic political movements. IT has issued a threat to overthrow Hamas, which is now in power in Gaza Strip. ISIS regarded Hamas to little enforce religious rules of Islam. The threat was issued on a video message from ISIS base in Syria. This is the first time for ISIS to threaten another Islamic movement that seriously fights against Israel. After launching attacks throughout the region, eventually ISIS also began to enter into African continent. Italian consulate office in Cairo was targeted. This time, the target is not Muslims, but the interest of the West. A car bomb placed in the front of the consulate has killed some people and brought about serious injuries. The chaos in North Africa was worsened by the attacks of Al-Qaeda to a number of foreign tourists in Tunisia. In March attack this year, it also killed some foreign tourists, and Tunisian authority has accused Al-Qaeda being the mastermind of the attacks. However, ISIS claimed the attack. President of Tunisia, Beji Caid Essebsi, finally declared an emergency in Tunisia at the beginning of July. Countries of non-Islamic are in phobia with ISIS phenomenon. They have taken some preventive steps so that their citizens do not join ISIS group. Other Islamic countries also face the phenomenon of their citizens crossing into ISIS group in various ways, including the allegations of involvement of some Indonesian citizens. The last case was that two Indonesian aviators indicated Australia involved in ISIS. However, it was denied by Indonesian authorities. From a series of stories above, what is happening in the Middle East today is very worrying for all of us. Moreover, the conflict occurs when the holy month of Ramadan prohibits any conflict. As a fellow member country of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or OIC, the hope is what happens to Muslim brothers, whether it adheres to Sunni or Shiite, is not supposed to happen. The conflict that has killed a lot of people and injured more makes us contemplate again the endowment in carrying out fasting during Ramadan. Fasting teaches pious Muslims to restrain themselves from being outrageous. Islam does not teach to destroy a fellow human being, let alone a fellow Muslim. Definitely, we do hope that Idul Fitri is a moment to forgive, to forget differences among sects, and to create peace in the region. We also hope not only a ceasefire, but also fellow Muslim brothers should live in harmony forever. Happy Idul Fitri. That was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of our RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start with July 17, 1994. Brazil put the history as the world soccer champion for four times. Brazil made a historical story in the Soccer World Championship as the first country to win the World Soccer Champion for four times at the World Soccer Cup in the United States. At the top final party in Los Angeles on July 17, 1994, that was ended by the first penalty shootout in the World Soccer Cup. Brazil succeeded to defeat Italy 3-2. After 2x45 minutes game and an additional time 2x15 minutes, the position still 0-0. On July 17, 1998, giant tsunami in Papua New Guinea. After it was shocked by two heavy quakes on 7.1 Richter scale on July 17, 1998, a giant wave, or usually called tsunami, struck northern coast of Papua New Guinea. Three big waves with 10 meters high is an effect of the quake, submerged more than seven coastal villages and killed more than 2,000 people. As a result of the disaster, more than 6,000 people were homeless. We conclude today's edition of Today in History. Bashar al-Assad is installed as Syrian president on July 17, 2000. Bashar al-Assad became Syrian president to replace his father, President Hafez al-Assad's position, who passed away on June 10, 2000, after he took in power for 30 years. The installation of Bashar al-Assad to be president followed by the changes of constitution in Syria. Once the death of Hafez al-Assad, Syrian parliament decided the minimum age of 34 years for president's post, which previously 40 years. The changes was enabled Bashar al-Assad, who at the time was 34 years old, to be chosen as president. Then he was officially inaugurated on July 17, 2000, for 7 years term of power. Dear listener, that was Today in History from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thank you and sampai jumpa.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll take you to have a look at 2016 Hajj quota is back to normal. Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs affirmed Lukman Hakim Saifuddin. Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin affirmed Indonesian Hajj quota will return to normal in the implementation of the Hajj in 2016 since the King and the ranks of the government of Saudi Arabia have been committed to complete construction of the expansion of the Haram before the Hajj season next year. This assertion was conveyed by Religious Minister after a meeting with Saudi Minister of Hajj Muhammad Hajar at the airport in Jeddah on Monday. Minister Lukman Hakim left for Saudi Arabia on Saturday, July 11th, to conduct a number of meetings with parties related to the preparation for the pilgrimage in 2015 in Jeddah, Mecca, and Medina, among others, Muassasah Southeast Asia and the Minister of Hajj of Saudi Arabia. He said the normal quota of Indonesian pilgrims is 211,000 people, comprising 194,000 regular pilgrims quota and 17,000 for special pilgrims quota. Due to a sighting of quota by 20% for the whole standard pilgrims countries, since 2014, the Indonesian Hajj quota become 168,800, consisting of 155,200 for regular Hajj quotas and 13,600 for special Hajj quota. Related to the cost of pilgrimage in 2015, President Joko Widodo has decided a presidential regulation on the cost of conducting the Hajj. the cost is lowering from $3,219 or about 42,738,000 rupiah in 2014 to $2,717 or about 36 million rupiah this year. This pilgrimage cost is different at each embarkation, which is determined based on a much nearby point of departure to Saudi Arabia. Director General of the Implementation of Hajj and Umrah, Abdul Jamil, in Jakarta said, the regular Hajj quota 2015 is 155,200 people. The fulfilling of Hajj quota is divided into two steps. Firstly, it's given to the pilgrims who has registration number in allocating quotas of province and regency or city by some provisions, such as someone who never been a pilgrimage, the age is at least 18 years, or married counted per August 21, 2015. Meanwhile, member of House of Representative Commission 8 of the PKS faction, Abdul Fikri Faqih, explained the pilgrimage cost could be more lowering. He said the biggest factor to reducing the cost of Hajj is a component of the flight cost. So far, there are provided two airlines involved in the Hajj flights, namely Garuda Indonesia and Saudi Arabia. Fikri assured that the cost of the pilgrimage in 2016 could be more lower. Moreover, when the government successfully lobbied chairman of Muassasa, the private sector in Saudi Arabia, which handling Hajj pilgrimage, to reduce costs during the Hajj performance in Saudi Arabia. Abdul also added that input from the public, especially related to lowering the cost of the pilgrimage. The lowering costs included in the revision of laws related to Hajj and Umrah performance. He requested that the various elements of society to actively educate the pilgrims so they are not cheated by illegal pilgrimage travel agents. That was Focus.
Here is news in brief. Archbishop of Semarang, Monsignor Johannes Puja Sumarta, attended the Eid prayer held in Great Mosque in city of Semarang, Central Java, on Friday. Building of new passenger terminal and supporting facilities in Belawan has completed. The government will involve more Indonesians from domestic universities or think tanks in the development of infrastructure projects to make the most of local human resources potential, top economic minister have said. Gajah Mada University invited the administration of Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta in developing technopark based on agro-industries and manufacturing. Maros Regency in South Sulawesi is set to hold Full Moon Festival in Ramang-Ramang, started from August 8 to 9. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil, popular as Emil, has planned to introduce creative industry products from Bandung through a promotion center called Little Bandung in South Korea. At least 230 illegal immigrants from Bangladesh now accommodated a former immigration office in Lok Semawe, Aceh, are ready for deportation after Idul Fitri. That was news in brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B.
Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I introduce you to one of the traditions that organized by Banten people in Idul Fitri, namely Ngadong Kapkun tradition. So stay tuned. Nyangga kensari pangabaktina hayang kasasi kabukti kateda katarima agungna kanu kawasa. The fragment of prayer offered by indigenous people of Banten, Kidul, Kaulotan, Cisungsang, Cibabur Subdistrict, Lebak Regency, Banten, when held Ngadong Kapkun tradition. The fragment includes a prayer of surrender to the God Almighty so that their servitude accepted. Ngadong Kapkun tradition has always been held by local residents during Idul Fitri. This tradition is a blend of local customs with Islamic teachings. In a sense, a form of gratitude to Allah, the Almighty, and homage to ancestors who have contributed so their grandchildren can live happily. Listener, after Idul Fitri prayers, the local community gather at the Kokolot Lembur home or village elders while carrying food. Kokolot Lembur and land to the ancestral ritual that ends praise to Allah the Almighty. With typical clothes of Banten Kidul, namely black dress and headgear, Kokolot Lembur directly prayer to God and ancestor. A series of prayers in the Ngadong Kapkun tradition started by reciting Basmalah, burn incense prayer, surviving prayer, and it is ended by reciting La Hawla Wa La Quwata Illa Billah, which means there is no power and effort beside Allah the Almighty. Listener, besides led by Kokolot Lembur or Philot's elder, the Ngadongkakken tradition ritual can also be led by the head of the family. So there is a more personal rituals. And indeed, Ngadongkakken tradition can also be implemented in every home of residents. More personal ritual is usually seen during the day before Idul Fitr or after Iftar or after the last Iftar. In addition to the day of Idul Fitr, Ngadongkakken tradition perform well when there is excess provision on the first day of the fasting month, the fast, the last day of fasting, pilgrimage after the grape, full moon and sunset. In the ritual, a number of offerings provided, usually consists of snacks, water, coffee and etc. The number must be odd, such as 3, 5 or 7. Influence of Islam in public life of Chisungsang, Banten, increasingly greater. Until the 1960s, a sense of tradition in Chisungsang people much more fuses than the Islam nuance. However, as the establishment of Madrasa Diniya or School of Islam in the late of 1970s and later Bar Ulum Boarding School in the 1990s, the influence of Islam on Chisungsang people growing rapidly. People today live with the teachings of religion and tradition in a balanced way, even combined. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Ngadongkakken tradition of Banten province. To Muslim listener around the world, we wish you a happy Idul Fitr 1436 Hijriah.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me Rahma. Today's edition presents you Halal Bihalal Tradition. Idul Fitri festivity is the great day of Muslims that falls on Shawwal first, according to Hijriah Islamic calendar. Because Shawwal first is determined based on moon circulation, Idul Fitri falls on different date every year according to Anno Domini or AD calendar. However, there is one thing that is always done by Muslims in Indonesia to celebrate Idul Fitri. Halal bihalal. That's the tradition of Muslims. Halal bihalal is a tradition of apologizing and forgiving each other in Indonesia. Halal bihalal comes from the result of nativeness of Islamic teaching in Southeast Asia. There are some versions of history of halal bihalal. Based on a source close to Keraton Surakarta Palace, Halal bihalal tradition was initiated by Kanjeng Gusti Pangeran Adipati Arya Mangkunegara I, who was known as Prince Sambernyawa. To save the time, energy, and cost, after Idul Fitri prayer, a meeting between the king and punggawa or retainers as well as soldiers was held simultaneously in the palace hall. All punggawa and soldiers
bow down orderly to the king and princes. What Prince Sambernyawa did was then followed by Islamic organizations with the term of halal bihalal. State and private agencies also hold halal bihalal, involving people from various religions. Apparently, ulamas in Java really want to achieve the goal of Ramadan fasting. Besides increasing faith and piety, sins in the past are also expected to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The phenomenon of halal bihalal has become a culture. The culture of forgiving, visiting each other, and sharing compassion with each other. Halal bihalal is a special tradition of the Indonesian nation that in the end reflects Islam as a tolerant religion which puts forward harmonious life with all religions. Diversity in religions is not for hatred and suspicion, but for facilities to compete in kindness. The term of halal bihalal is the plural words whose meaning can be explained from two sides, namely legal side and language side. Based on legal side, halal is the opposite of haram or prohibited. If haram is something prohibited and sinful, halal means something allowed and sinless. Thus, halal bihalal makes our attitude to others from haram to halal through apology. According to Islamic teaching, forgiving each other is not only after Ramadan fasting month, but also any time when someone feels guilty with someone else. In Javanese culture, someone bows down to the elder one is a good attitude. Sungkem is not a symbol of low level, but primary attitude. Sungkem serves as the symbol of respect and apology. Therefore, on this occasion, we from Voice of Indonesia wish you Happy Idul Fitri. Minal aidin wal faizin. Forgive all of our mistakes. VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on halal bihalal tradition. I'm Rahman. Thanks for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me Rahma in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's religious edition presents you a religious pop singer, Jeffrey Al-Bukhari, who was known as Uje, and also Bimbo. Listener, it is like the other day that we start to fast in Ramadan. Today is the day of victory. Takbir or praises to Allah sounds in all over the world. To bring you the atmosphere of Idul Fitri festivity, let's begin our program with Gema Takbir, presented by Ustaz Jeffrey Al-Bukhari.
Setelah sebulan penuh, kita tunaikan bersama salah satu rukun Islam, ibadah puasa. Sekarang tiba saatnya hari raya bagi kita.
Listener Jeffrey Al-Bukhari, who was popularly called as Uje, was a preacher who performed in a style that reached youth. In addition, Ustadz Uje delivered his preach through Islamic songs. However, Uje had a gloomy past. He got along with drug users and he often went clubbing. Moreover, Uje didn't finish his study in the university. In 1991, Uje became a dancer in the club. One thing that made him realize his wrong path was when his mother asked him to do Umrah or small Hajj. Since then, he got enlightened and started preaching in Majlis Ta'lim or Al-Quran study group, Musola or small mosque, and mosque. Unfortunately, on April 26, 2013, Uje died of a motor accident in Pondok Indah at midnight. Uje is survived by a wife and three children. The sudden leave of Uje made Indonesian shock. Well, listener, now let's listen to another song by Uje entitled I'tiraf. Happy listening.
Fa innaka ghafirun bil 'alamin.
Listener from Ujjain, now we move to Bimbo. Bimbo is a music group from Bandung, West Java, Indonesia, which was formed in about 1967. Bimbo's personnel consists of Sam Bimbo, Acil Bimbo, Jaka Bimbo, and Iin Parlina. In 70s, Bimbo was famous for ballad songs with poetic lyrics. Entering 80s, Bimbo started playing with songs containing social criticism, such as Antara Kabul dan Beirut, or Surat untuk Reagan and Brezhnev. On the other hand, characteristic as a religious group was getting stronger. It is no wonder that although Bimbo has come to its 48th year, the legendary music group was invited by PT Freeport Indonesia to Kuala Kencana, Timika, Papua on the second day of Ramadan. The event was attended by hundreds of Timika people, who are mostly employees at PT Freeport. Having performed for an hour, Bimbo's personnel, who are about 70 years old, could still perform optimally. Religious songs that they sang included Anak Bertanya Pada Bapaknya, Lailatul Qadar, Bermata Tapi Tak Melihat, and Sajadah. In the middle of the songs, Bimbo gave message of kindness related to the songs. Besides, Bimbo performed two legendary hits, Balada Seorang Biduan and Flamboyan. Alright, listener, to end today's music corner, here are two closing songs by Bimbo, entitled Rindu Kami Padamu and Setiap Habis Ramadan. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Tiada terbuka.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Setiap habis Ramadan, hamba rindu lagi Ramadan. Saat-saat pada beribadat tak terhingga nilai mahalnya. Setiap habis Ramadan, hamba cemas kalau tak sampai umur hamba di tahun depan, berilah hamba kesempatan. Alangkah nikmat ibadah bulan Ramadan, sekeluarga, sekampung, senegara. Kaum muslimin dan muslimat sedunia, seluruhnya kuku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.